I'd like to welcome everyone again this morning. As Delana's already said, it's Mother's Day. We'd like to take this opportunity to celebrate and honor the mothers. You know, and that's the mothers of the past, so those of the present, and then those that are in the future too as well. You know, this day was set aside each year to honor them, you know, and we really honor them a lot more than that. Maybe not with the kind of honor that they get today, I guess, but mothers are very important, aren't they? And as I was thinking about this week, I was looking into mothers, and let me read a couple of things before we get there. A couple kind of definitions, if you will, about mothers. It says, in the biblical context, the role of a mother is highly esteemed and integral to the family unit and to society. The Bible presents mothers as nurturers, teachers, and figures of wisdom and strength. From the earliest chapters of Genesis to the teachings of the New Testament, mothers are depicted as pivotal and in the spiritual and moral upbringing of their children. You're needed. What you do is not unseen, even though a lot of times it's not shared or spoken with you. Mothers are needed. You're a very vital part of everyday life, and especially a part of the church. And one of the Bible teachings on motherhood is the Bible instructs children to do what? To honor their mother. And that's seen in the Ten Commandments, where it says, honor your father and your mother so that your days will be long in the land the Lord your God has given you. Well, in years past, that living long was a fact of honoring your father and your mother, because if you didn't, they might take you out. Probably not so much today, but seems like a lot of the kids are ruling the roost instead of the parents. But mothers are a key part of it, right? And the commandment underscores the respect and reverence to mothers that are due. We got to do those things. Mothers are seen as teachers and guides, right? Proverbs 1:8 advises us, listen, my son, to your father's instructions, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. That particular verse does emphasize the mother's role of imparting wisdom and moral guidance to us, right? But while I was thinking about this week, I was thinking about how many mothers in Scripture do we see that aren't really named. You ever thought about that? There's a lot of mothers in Scripture that don't even have a name. They're somebody's son, somebody's mother, somebody's husband, but a lot of them don't even have their name mentioned, you know. And of course, I went to Google to ask them instead of trying to do the research myself necessarily, but that's a whole lot of ground to cover in just a few minutes, right? And this is kind of what Google shared, just to give you an idea of what it says. But it says, to explore the instances of unnamed mothers in the Bible, consider the following points. The Bible mentions several unnamed mothers, particularly in genealogies and narratives. Notable examples include the mother of Moses. You know, to start with, she was just called the mother of Moses. Later on in Scripture, you find that her name was Jochebed. But the mother of King Solomon is also unnamed in the biblical account. The unnamed mother of the Levite's concubine in Judges 19 plays a significant role in the narrative. Many unnamed mothers appear in the parables and teachings, emphasizing their roles without specific identification. Overall, the exact number of unnamed mothers is difficult to qualify due to the nature of biblical text. Did a little more digging, and it says there's 36 mothers explicitly named in the Bible. Different ones that we could all know and name easily. Of course, Eve, right, being the very first mother of mankind, the first woman, period. Sarah, Hagar, Rebecca, Leah, Rachel, some of the other wives, like I said, Jochebed, which was the mother of Moses, Hannah, right? Hannah's a mother that gets used a lot of times on Mother's Day. What did Hannah do? She went and really poured herself out before the Lord, right? In order to have a child. She wanted a son. Of course, sons were the better in that day, right? According to their customs and all. If a wife had a son, then she was ranked above ones that didn't, right? The ones that had daughters or ones that didn't have any children and all. But she was barren. And she went before the Lord and prayed and sought the Lord. And then she had a son. And she did what with him? She dedicated him completely and totally his service to the Lord. She did have other children afterwards, but she was a very key mother in Scripture, right? There's a lot of others. Like I said, this one name had 36 names on this list. Naomi, Ruth, right? Without Ruth and Naomi, we wouldn't have the line of Jesus, right? Because of David. Samson's mother wasn't named. His father was, but she wasn't. Jezebel was another mother that we can think about in Scripture, right? She falls on the other side of the fence. One that's evil and mean and rough. Just pure D nasty. Not the one that you want to model your life after, okay? Y'all didn't think that was funny, huh? Job's wife was a mother, right? Do we think about Job's wife being a mother, or do we think about the comment that she made to Job that says, "Won't you just curse God and die?" We think about those things. But what the roles that mothers have in the house, in the home, and in the church, they matter, right? The things that you share with your family and your friends and outside of that matters. It's like Delano said, you know, we consider all you ladies mothers. Mothers of the children in this church, you watch over them, you take care of them, no matter what your role is within the church. You know, people watch over them, look after them. You get into the New Testament, you get into Elizabeth, which was the mother of John the Baptist, right? Mary, the mother of Jesus. And then a couple of the other mothers that really get a lot of attention on Mother's Day is Eunice and Lois, which were was the grandmother and the mother of Timothy. Right, and they were strong Christian ladies that really sought the Lord and had a great influence in Timothy's life. And then there's a couple other mothers that are unnamed in the New Testament that really I thought about a lot when I think about a mother and the sincerity of mothers and what they do and how they fight for their children, right? You know, I think about a story Delana tells a lot of times that, let me tell you, if you don't want to get between her and her kids or her grandkids, because it's not going to turn out well for you, right? She was, I think when Keston was younger, she was walking with him in a stroller one day, and some people pulled up beside her, maybe had bad intentions, and she began to pray at that moment and said, "Lord, take them out if they want to mess with me and this baby," right? But that's really the mentality that we got to have as parents, right? We got to love them. We got to lead them. We got to guide them. We got to direct them and show them. And sometimes as mothers, those ideals and thoughts, they get crossed with us as children, don't they? Because sometimes we don't want to hear the truth. And sometimes we don't want to hear what mama's got to say. And generally, for the most part, when we stop back and look at it a little bit later, we're like, yeah, bad as we hate to say it, maybe she was right. But even necessarily if she wouldn't, she still had your best interests at heart. And that's the thing we got to understand. But this particular mother that was a she just known as a Syrophoenician woman, right? And that's, if you want to look it up, you can look that up. I'm not going to go there, but it's Mark chapter 7. But she had an interaction with Jesus. She come to Jesus, and I want you to heal my daughter. And what did Jesus tell her? He said, I'm here for the Jews, you know, more or less. You know, we can't be giving the bread, the father's bread to the dog, or the children's bread to the dogs, right? He called the woman a dog. Did she give up? Did she quit? What'd she tell him? She said, well, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall off the master's table. And I like what Jesus said about her, though. He said, I ain't seen faith like this in all of Jerusalem, right? She had faith. She understood who the Father was, and she understood who Jesus was and what he had. And that's what true mothers do, and they share that with us. The other one was the widow of Nain. Her son had passed away, and Jesus come by. And there's a couple others in the Old Testament. I think about Elijah and Elisha and their dealings with different women there, and how God moved in those situations and how greatly they were a part of it. But just because somebody doesn't know your name, how many of you been called? Well, I know Delana was called Keston's mom or Clay's mom or Mahaley's mom all the time, right? You know, maybe they don't know your name, but they know you and they know the influence that you have. And you know, one of the things that I read while I was kind of studying on this and thinking about it, you ever wonder why their names weren't mentioned? No. Of course, you know, a lot of us ain't never thought about that necessarily, but why did God not have the writers mention those women's names? Do you think he wanted them to focus on that woman's name or what the miracle was or the great thing that God done? And that's the thing that we got to look at it as, you know, it's not against you because somebody didn't mention your name, but focus on God and the things that he's done. Focus upon the miracle, right? Focus upon the faith that, like the Syrophoenician woman had. God wants us to understand those things, not an individual's name. He wants us to focus upon him and what he's done for us and the great things that he's going to do or has done. You know, names are important to us, but we like it when people call us by name, right? When people recognize our name, remember our names. Sorry, I'm terrible about it. It may take me a few weeks or months to figure that out and get it all together, right? I used to work for a guy that was great about it. We go into job walks and meetings, and he was very specific about speaking people's name each time just so they knew that who he was talking to and that he knew who they were. And that's why we are, right? How many of you want somebody to call your name and know who you are? You know, we can say, yes, we do. You can say, well, I just want to be in the back. Yeah, but you still want somebody to know who your name is. But God still knows each and every one of us, right? He knows who your name is. And I'd a whole lot rather God know my name than somebody else. Right? He knows how many hairs you got on your head or you don't have. Right? He knows our thoughts. He knows our hearts. He knows our minds. He knows what our aspirations are. He knows us. And mothers, he knows you. He knows who you are. He knows what you've done, whether you get the accolades for it or not. But I want to read this. It says, but in fact, many of the times he merely refers to the women as someone's wife or mother or daughter. Other times he describes them by their town or their occupation or activity. Why is that? We can't begin to think like God. But he does seem that there are times he wanted us to know exactly who he was talking about. And other times the story is more important than the individual. Right? Them little ones are more important than you are as an individual, aren't they? And that's the way God's looking at it, and that's the way he's showing it. The miracle was the point of the story, and it could have happened to anyone. And in some ways, we can relate better to the nameless women because their stories could just as easily have been ours. Right? Every woman, everyone has that availability, that opportunity. You all have the opportunity to share. And I want to share a couple more scriptures here before I close. As well as, like I say, the Shunammite woman was one of the others, and that was not mentioned. The widow of Zarephath. So many in scripture that weren't even mentioned. Nobody even knows what their name is, but the key is, was about the story, about the miracle, about the plot of what they were a part of, instead of their name. And each one of these stories has something to tell to us, right? Each one of these women, even though their names weren't recorded. But one of the things that I want to share to you this morning is Titus chapter 2, verse 3 through 5. And this is a mandate, if you will, to the ladies of the church. It says, the older women otherwise, that they may be reverent in behavior, not slandering, not giving to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the younger women to love their husbands and to love their children. You ever thought about the fact that you had to teach someone to love their husband and love their children? If we look around the world today, we can see that. But that's what Scripture calls for the older ladies to teach the younger ladies how to do those things. That's why we need the connection that we have, the classes that we have, and different things of kind of separating the men from the women. That way you got ladies can speak into each other's lives. The men can speak into the men's lives. Those things help, right? And it says to be discreet, chastity, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. You know, we can all learn something from each other, right? And one of the other things about the wife and the mother, Proverbs 31 is an awesome place to find out how great mothers are and what a great mother is about. I'm going to kind of jump through different scriptures here in Proverbs chapter 31, but if you would, take your time and read it sometime. But verse 10 through 12 to start with, it says, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. Ladies, y'all worth something. Even though you don't feel like you might be at some time or point or another, your worth is far above rubies. It says, the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Verse 23 says, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Verse 25 says, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of your hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. We honor you this morning, mothers. Y'all are a great asset, not only to our families, our homes, but to our church as well. And as Pam and them come back, we prepare to worship again here for just a moment. If anybody needs prayer, needs anything, and I encourage you today to love on these mothers and show them how important they are and speak into them. And we need to do that more often. And there's some that don't have that opportunity today because they're no longer with them, but they were still a great part of their lives. So as we stand and worship again for just a moment, if anybody needs prayer, and I'm going to tell you, there would probably nothing make a mother happier than to know that her child is a child of the King. So if anybody needs the Lord today, these altars are open for that as well. So let's worship.